Chapter 37, The New Universe, The Revolution of Copernicus. During the Renaissance, young artists studied ancient art, young philosophers read ancient philosophy, and young scientists read ancient books about the sky and earth. One of these young scientists was named Nicholas Copernicus. Nicholas Copernicus grew up in the part of Europe that we now call Poland. When he was 18, he began to study science at the university in the big, busy city of Krakow. Copernicus had always been interested in the stars, and at the University of Krakow, he studied astronomy, the science of the stars. He learned how to read star maps, charts that show where each star is at different times of the year, and how to measure the positions of the stars in the sky. He also learned that the Earth stood at the center of the universe and was surrounded by clear spheres, like balls made out of glass. Each ball was bigger than the next, and each had a planet attached to it. The stars were on an enormous sphere that surrounded all the rest, and each sphere turned at a different speed. This idea about the universe was based on the writings of the Egyptian astronomer Ptolemy, who had lived hundreds of years ago. Ptolemy's theories, found in his famous book The Almagest, explained why the planets seemed to move around the sky at different speeds, sometimes coming closer to certain stars and sometimes moving farther away. It also explained why the sun appeared to move across the sky from the east to the west. But when Copernicus used his instruments to measure the positions of the stars and planets, and then compared his findings with the Almagest, he discovered that Ptolemy was sometimes wrong. He was startled. He had always been taught that Ptolemy's book was the most accurate book about the universe that could possibly be written. Copernicus began to read the writings of other scientists and found that he was not the first astronomer to notice problems with Ptolemy's explanations. Others tried to solve the problems by suggesting Ptolemy's sphere theory needed more spheres. Perhaps there were more than 80 spheres surrounding the Earth, each speeding up and slowing down as it turned. Copernicus didn't see why the explanation for the movement of the stars and planets needed to be so complicated. He knew that another ancient writer, the Greek astronomer Aristarchus, had once suggested that the Earth moves around the sun rather than the other way around. Could this explain the difference between Copernicus' findings and Ptolemy's? It might. And it might also explain some other puzzling things he had noticed. For example, he had seen that the planet Mars was brighter at some times of the year and dimmer at others. Maybe Mars was circling the Earth in an oval shape. Then it would be brighter when it was closer to the Earth and dimmer when it was farther away. But Mars couldn't move in an oval if the other planets were attached to spheres. Mars would run into the round spheres around it. On the other hand, if Mars moved around the Sun, sometimes Mars would be closer to the Earth, and sometimes it would be farther away. Copernicus thought that this new, simple idea was much more likely than the complicated system of spheres described by scientists of his day. He knew that simple, clear explanations were likely to be correct, and Copernicus realized that almost all of his observations would be explained if the Earth and the other planets all circled the Sun. This meant that the stars were much, much farther away than anyone had ever thought, so far away that it was hard even to measure the distance. If Copernicus's new theory was correct, the universe was much larger than anyone had imagined. He thought that this new idea showed that God had created the universe to be more magnificent than man could imagine. But Copernicus was a devout Catholic, and for centuries, the Church had taught that since man was the most wonderful part of God's creation, man's home, the earth, must be at the center of creation. Copernicus was afraid that the leaders of the Catholic Church might not approve of his theory. So at first he only put his ideas into a little handwritten book called The Little Commentary on the Movement of Celestial Orbs. A few scientists read the little commentary and told him that he needed to print his ideas in a book that more people could read. Copernicus worked for years on a book that would explain how he had come to his conclusions. Finally, he published On the Revolutions of the Heavenly Spheres. Copernicus died the same year that On the Revolutions of the Heavenly Spheres was printed. The first copy was put into his hands on his deathbed. But after his death, the Church did condemn this new idea. Many priests were afraid that Copernicus's new ideas would be interpreted by others to mean that man was no longer at the center of God's plan in making the world. Even Martin Luther thought that Copernicus must be wrong. But slowly, Copernicus's theories were accepted by more and more people. Other scientists saw that if the Earth revolved around the sun, the different motions of the stars and planets made sense. Today we call Copernicus the father of astronomy, because he was the first to explain the movement of the planets and stars in a way that made sense. Galileo's strange notions. 21 years after Copernicus died, a little boy named Galileo Galilei was born in Italy. Like Copernicus, Galileo learned Greek and Latin so that he could read the works of ancient scientists. He also learned logic, how to argue for truth of an idea by showing how the evidence supports it. As a matter of fact, Galileo didn't do very well at school because he argued with his teachers so much. They nicknamed him the Arguer because he spent so much time disagreeing with them. Galileo was never content to accept an explanation until he had figured it out for himself. This curiosity led him to ask all sorts of odd questions. Once he was sitting in church, but instead of paying attention to the sermon, he was watching the big chandelier above his head. It swung back and forth, first in long sweeping strokes, and then in shorter and shorter movements. Why did the chandelier slow down? What force was pulling on it? Another day, Galileo went up to the top of a famous tower in Pisa, Italy. The tower leaned to one side, so it was called the Leaning Tower of Pisa. He dropped two weights from the top of the tower. One weight was heavier than the other, and according to old theories about the way the universe worked, this heavier weight should have landed first. But both weights landed at about the same time. Why? Galileo thought that perhaps the same force was working on the chandelier and on the weights. He was right. Today we call this force gravity. Galileo's experiments led a later scientist, Isaac Newton, to make a theory about gravity and how gravity works. Galileo spent much of his time trying to figure out how things worked. He threw balls and measured how far they flew. He swung pendulums back and forth and tried to understand what laws made them move in certain directions. He moved objects of different weights with levers of different lengths and measured how much force was needed to move each one. He shot cannonballs and figured out the angle of each cannonball's trip through the air. He dripped water from one cup into another and timed how many seconds it took each drop to form and fall. He spent years experimenting and making scientific instruments, such as the thermometer, which he invented when he was 32. Galileo was one of the first modern scientists because he used the experimental method to find out how the world worked. Rather than trying to decide whether or not his ideas lined up with philosophy, Galileo made theories about the world and then tested them through doing experiments. "Measure what is measurable," he once said, "and if something cannot be measured, figure out how it can be." When Galileo was almost 50, he discovered a brand new scientific instrument invented by Dutch scientists, the telescope. Telescopes had two lenses in them that made faraway objects seem very close. As soon as Galileo got his hands on a telescope, he pulled it apart and began to make it better. He made a telescope more powerful than any scientist had seen before. When he looked at the sky with his new telescopes, he discovered hundreds of new stars. And around the planet Jupiter, he saw something that no one had ever seen before. Tiny moons going around and around and around the planet. This proved that Copernicus's theories could be true. Planets and stars could rotate around something other than the Earth. To tell the world what he had discovered with his new telescope, Galileo wrote a book called The Starry Messenger. He traveled to Rome to show his new telescope to the Pope. Soon, though, Galileo found himself in trouble. He was suggesting that Copernicus might have been right, but Copernicus's book on the revolution of the heavenly spheres had been placed on a list of books that good Catholics should not read. The Church insisted that the idea of the Earth revolving around the sun denied a man's place at the center of God's created order. Galileo was ordered to repent of his mistaken ideas, and he wanted to obey the Church, so he agreed to say that the sun could be going around the Earth. even though he believed the church to be wrong, he was unwilling to say in public that the leaders of his faith were making a mistake. But he did write a book about three imaginary scientists having an argument. One insisted that the earth was at the center of the universe. The second insisted that the sun was at the center, and the third scholar listened to both and asked questions. When this book was published, church leaders asked Galileo, "Why are you supporting the theory of Copernicus?" Galileo protested, "I'm not. I didn't say which theory was true. I just described each one." But his book was also added to the list of books that Catholics should not read. Galileo, who loved the church, was deeply saddened by this condemnation of his book. He didn't believe that his ideas proved any part of the Bible to be untrue. Instead, he thought that the priests who condemned his writings were misinterpreting the Bible. So he put all of his ideas into a new book called The Two Sciences. Galileo died not long after The Two Sciences was published. He did not live to see his theories accepted by the world. But today, his discoveries are part of the study of physics. Physics is the study of why objects, like swinging chandeliers, falling weights, and orbiting moons, behave as they do. Because of Galileo's curiosity, the great modern scientist Albert Einstein called Galileo the father of modern physics.